Hi, I'm Dwayne Parker, and I serve as the Director of Discipleship and Sunday School. You're listening to a Mississippi Baptist Convention Board production.
All right. Thank you so much for listening today to Mississippi Baptist Around the Table podcast. My name's Tanner Cade, co-hosting alongside John Martin. And I'll just be honest with you, we are so thankful to be at the table with you today and that you're listening with us.
Yep, no doubt. Today we have Dr. Parker sitting down with us to talk a little bit about SBC news and some other things that are just on his mind and heart today. Glad you're here with us. We're going to begin with some events.
Yeah, that's right. So here we are at the end of March. I hope you and your Easter Sunday prep, you've got a couple days left here, are going well. I hope your volunteers are in place for a big weekend, Easter weekend. And we do want to hear stories about what happens in your church, if you have some great stories that come up for Easter Sunday. But especially April 7th is Baptism Sunday. We look forward to that day and hope to hear stories as you lead up to April 7th as well.
Yeah, so the preaching conference is April the 15th at Blue Mountain, April 16th at Garraway, and April the 17th at William Carey University. So they're going to be studying 1 and 2 Samuel. You can register for that event by emailing John Pace's office to register there.
Yeah, that's good, John. I didn't have that in the script. But
no,
yeah,
you didn't give me nearly enough notes.
I know.
But I know. So.
And I don't have a whole lot of notes for this next event. It's April 26th is the African-American Retreat at Calvary Christian Oak Forest Baptist Church here in Jackson. Mm-hmm. And Brian Crawford's actually speaking at that, but that's through our multicultural department.
Yeah, so May the 14th, we're only having one of these this year. It's the Church Safety for Minors Workshop. It's at Country Woods Baptist in Byram. So if you're going to do one of these this year, this is the one to do.
Did you say May or March?
May is what I meant. If I said March,
My brain was reading something else, and I thought, okay, May 14th is that event. Sorry, John, for interrupting you.
Well, I may have said March.
NBCB.org/events has more events on there. By the way, we just added all the Impact Training Retreats that are in events that are in August after the summer season there. So, Dr. Parker, glad to be at the table with you today.
Hey, good to be here. I'm doing well, and seems to me that the two of you have been doing this long enough now that you're starting to read each other's minds, and that's becoming a little bit frightening.
It should be. It definitely should
I'll never be on his level, but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, glad to be here today with you, and I know it's been a busy year so far. Your schedule, a lot of your meetings tend to hit in February, it seems like.
Yeah, that's right. February and March, there are a lot of Southern Baptist Convention level meetings that I'm part of. And so I'm always glad to get back to Mississippi.
Yeah, for sure.
But how has it been for you so far this year? I guess we could say it's the first quarter of the year in 2024. You're on your fourth year.
Yeah, just moved into the fourth year. And seems like it hasn't been 4 years in one way. And then in other ways, it seems like it's been much more than four years. But it's the Lord's working in a wonderful way. And we're off to a great start this year in Mississippi Baptist life. In fact, we celebrated in January our third $4 million month in cooperative program giving all time. Yeah. And that's a great tribute to the cooperative spirit in Mississippi and the generosity of our churches and the faithfulness of our Lord to provide. So, you know, if I didn't say anything else about the year so far, that would be a wonderful testimony to God's work.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I don't know if other states are experiencing that as well, but it seems we're approaching the 100-year celebration of CP. Mississippians still believe in a cooperative program.
Yeah, you know, I have the opportunity to rub shoulders with a lot of the other state directors, and I will acknowledge my bias in this statement, but I feel like Mississippians are as cooperative, more cooperative than a lot of other states, as cooperative as any state in the Southern Baptist Convention.
Why do you think it's important for us to celebrate the 100-year CP? You know, I know it's not coming until next year, right? We're going to start celebrating it at the convention this year in October. Yeah. And so what's the significance of that in your mind?
Well, you know, I've said before, and I know this sounds like hyperbole, but I don't mean it to be hyperbolic at all. But I do believe that the cooperative program is potentially the most effective mechanism for fulfilling the Great Commission maybe ever.
Yeah.
Certainly among the most effective of all time. That in and of itself, I think, demands celebration, you know, of the launch of it in 1925. But I think in addition to that, there are a lot of questions these days about the effectiveness of the cooperative program. Has it run its race? Has it seen its day?
Yeah.
Is it akin to the dinosaur, the Model A, Model T? Do we need to look at a new strategy and so forth? And, you know, I would say that, that at least the essence of the cooperative program is tried and proven, and I think a good vehicle for moving into the next century of a cooperative work.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. And I was trying to think of other things. We're doing a little research around here about what was happening to us 100 years ago as we get to 2025 and celebrating this. It's very interesting, the dynamics at play when the CP was formed, basically, as a country coming out of World War One, and just to see how it has lasted 100 years. Because they had a campaign. It was a little bit short of their goal, money dollar-wise, which was kind of maybe considered a rough start for some people, but to see how that has carried out.
Yeah.
And we're doing some research on just some numbers. We want to celebrate that next year in big capacity here, starting with our annual meeting.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting to see that. And I kind of want to – so Jeff Orrick spoke to that yesterday, but I don't want to get too much into that before we settle that question. But can you speak to – can we transition to that?
Yeah, absolutely. You're in charge, man. You're talking.
Well, I'll tell you, before we do that –
I think you want to say some more.
Before we do that, let me say just one thing, because I think this is worthy of celebration. You know, 1925 was one of the historic annual meetings of the Southern Baptist Convention, because not only was the cooperative program established, but the Baptist Faith and Message was adopted. The 1925 Baptist Faith and Message was adopted. So, of course, that annual meeting was in Memphis, and you know, you can read in history and discover that there were a lot of Mississippians that were involved in at least the brainstorming of the cooperative program and the launch of it, and we've been vitally involved in it since. Mm-hmm. There were also Mississippians involved in the writing of the Baptist Faith and Message. E.Y. Mullins was the leader of that, and a lot of people may not realize that E.Y. Mullins was born in Mississippi was here for the first 8 or 9 years of his life. And so, you know, that historic moment was something that really came to pass because of the great heritage of faith and churches here in Mississippi. And so I celebrate that, want everybody else to do the same.
Yeah, that's good.
That's great. And there was a lot of competition, too, when the CP wasn't developed yet. Everybody was trying to compete. All these entities and groups were trying to compete for churches' monies to help fund these ministries.
Yeah, they call that the society method. Mm-hmm. That's a falutant word for Baptists. And you know, it did create a lot of competition and ebb and flow, and I think was just an unhealthy model for Southern Baptists in general. And when we finally realized that we'd be better off working together through a common pool of financial resources distributed through some cooperative formula, I think that was just a hinge that really the history of Southern Baptists swing on.
Yep.
And I texted John this yesterday because it was an interesting fact about Mississippi Baptist life. I'm so glad CP was formed around that time, because you know what else we were discussing around that time? We were talking about what to do with cigarettes around the country and Coca-Cola. Like, the convention was really concerned about those two things.
Yeah.
And both those things, those two topics kind of squabbled in discussion, but we stuck to the discussion on the CP. So I'm glad we came through on that.
That's good.
I'm glad we're drinking Coca-Cola these days. Of course, Coca-Cola is not now what it was at one time.
That's
you know?
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
Ingredients have changed through the years.
Both addictive, one acceptable, one not.
Yeah. I didn't know we were getting to a history lesson on that, but let's bring it to today. How about that for a transition? So I don't think you were in Dallas yesterday.
No, sir. No, I was not, but I was paying attention.
A lot of people flew into Dallas. I believe it was somewhere there around the airport, and they had a called meeting to vote in Dr. Jeff Orrich. So I guess it was the first time we heard since 1979. It was unanimous.
Yeah.
And so could you just spell out your thoughts on Dr. Orrich? I know he's been in Baptist life for a long time. And so enlighten us on your thoughts there.
Yeah. Well, let me say, first of all, the reason I didn't go to the meeting is because my understanding is it was going to be an executive session. And I've been to enough of these meetings where they go into executive session and you're standing around wondering what to do. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
but I can say without any reservation or hesitation that I am thoroughly excited excited about the decision for Dr. Orridge to become the president-elect of the executive committee. He has a track record that is proven, and I mean by that, he is a church planter.
Yeah.
Planted one of the most effective churches in the Northwest that has ever been planted, went on to become the state exec for the Northwest Baptist Convention, and then, of course, for the last couple of decades has served as the president of Golden Gate, now Gateway Baptist Theological Seminary. In every one of those capacities, he has been effective in rallying troops and being a visionary and leading churches, state convention, as well as a seminary to new heights of effectiveness. I think his experience at all of those levels is going to greatly benefit him in his work as the leader of Southern Baptist. Unless you have some experience on the local church level, I think it's hard to relate to those local churches. A church plant of all churches gives you an added element of advantage. But I also believe that involvement in a state convention is really crucial for understanding the dynamics of the Southern Baptist Convention, and that's going to give him advantage. And then, you know, obviously his work at Gateway, his participation in the Great Commission Council, his relationships, established relationships with all of the other Southern Baptist leaders is going to be great. So he is, he's not only a proven leader, but he is articulate. You know, I've heard him speak on a number of occasions. He is easy to listen to. He is thoughtful. You never get the impression that he hasn't thought about this issue and formulated some measured response to whatever the question may be. The best description of him that I think I've heard, I actually heard from my good friend Randy Davis of the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board, who described Dr. Orridge as a guy who can operate in the white-collar setting, but he has a blue-collar work ethic. I think that's what we need in Southern Baptist life. He very much has a blue-collar work ethic, but at the same time, he has a white-collar mentality, meaning that he can relate to all levels of Southern Baptist life, and he can do it effectively.
Yeah, you know, going back to the cooperative program conversation, the reason we cooperate together, the reason we have a convention two times a year is because of the missions that we do together. What ties us together maybe is our theological thinking, but the purpose is the mission. And I wonder if you think he has an advantage as well because of his where his experience is. Yeah, he's not a Deep South Bible Belt guy.
No, right? No, he's not. Although he has roots in Texas,
he does.
You know, I mean, he understands the Deep South, and we've had him in Mississippi a number of times, and he just blends in perfectly, and Mississippians love him. So I don't think he'll have any difficulties relating. But I agree. You know, his experience in outside of the Bible Belt in some of the more what we sometimes call Southern Baptist pioneer areas. Is going to be a real advantage for him. And, you know, the thing I love about him is he's a practitioner. He's a philosopher. He's a theologian, all of those things, no doubt. But he's a practitioner, and that's what we need.
We had Don Dent on a few weeks ago, and Don and I actually had lunch this week. And Don was telling me a story about how he was the president at Gateway. Don was a missions professor. And he told Don, he's like, I want to go on a mission trip with my students. And so he got on a plane one day, flew with Don's mission students, and went on a mission trip, you know, and did everything that the students did. And I just thought that's a that goes back to what you're saying, blue collar kind of guy. He's a real guy. And I think humility is hugely needed right now, and I think he fits that.
He has a wonderful measure of humility. And another descriptive I would offer of him that I think is very significant is he is a leader among leaders. I've been in a variety of meetings where there are, I mean, like top level Southern Baptist leaders, and he is in that meeting as a speaker. And I've seen these top-level Southern Baptist leaders really just be just encapsulated by what he is sharing. And that doesn't come easily. You know, it takes a special spiritual gift and demeanor to be a leader among leaders. He is that.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate how he's very aware. And he's a family man. I heard him speak yesterday that how his three adult children are in full of support of this because they were looking forward to retirement. Hey, yeah. Dad's going to go into retirement days, but they were in full support of this as they are all believers as children of his. And then also they're going to, he said, the houses are not getting cheaper in Portland, so they're going to go ahead and buy a house in Portland because they want to care for their parents that mm-hmm. are elderly in that Portland area. And he'll, I guess he's going to balance Nashville and Portland. But he said, when I fly, it doesn't matter where I'm flying from, I'm still going to go somewhere from Portland or Nashville. Yeah, so it can be anywhere. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That sounds like a pretty schizophrenic experience.
But I don't know how he's going to work that out. So, yeah. But it's good to see he's a family man and he's aware of that.
I tell you, I think maybe the most important result of his election is I think we all understand that in order for cooperation to be successful, there must be a high level of trust. Mm-hmm. One of the great challenges that Southern Baptists have experienced over the last few years especially is a growing mistrust because of some missteps that have been made, some decisions that were questionable, and no need to pick those and dissect those at this point. But I think Dr. Orge brings a lot of credibility, which restores immediately a lot of the trust that had been maybe in question. And so I think that we are postured better now for cooperation than we have been in a while.
Yeah, and Tanner alluded to this. The first unanimous election of president since 1979. What's been fascinating to me, too, is just scrolling through the Twitter world, or X world, I don't know what we call it anymore, is it's hard to find anybody that stands against Jeff Orge. Yeah. And I think that's significant. But that's not the case in all things that are happening in Southern Baptist life.
Before we move to that, let me say one thing. And you're exactly right, John. And I do want to acknowledge this because I think we would be doing a disservice to Dr. Orge and perhaps relinquishing our responsibility. Yes, he comes in with a spirit of unanimity and consensus, and I'm thankful for that. But I think it's important for us to acknowledge that he faces some challenges, and he's going to make some decisions that will not make everybody happy.
That's right. Yeah.
And it is absolutely essential that all of us be praying for him and his family and for the decisions that will need to be made that we can maintain some consensus. So
That's right.
Well, before we go into that, he did share something. So if you want to be a real nerd like us, like me sometimes, Baptist Press has a live stream from the press conference after the vote yesterday. You can freely see that on their Facebook page at Baptist Press. But some Brandon Porter from Baptist Press did ask him a question about the CP and now in his new role, his thoughts on that. And he said it's his new role. He's not seen as an ambassador trying to raise funds for the CP. And the quote I love that he said is that it's not to raise the money for CP, yet to try to convince people that the vision is worthy of more resources. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really, of course, he framed it much better than I just did for you, but I really appreciate that. And then if you want, what you were just alluding to, Dr. Parker, if you want to hear how he's going to address the tougher issues in SBC life, it's a 16-minute press conference video, which is short, but hear how some, it bothered me. Okay, this was a big decision, SBC life, but how some reporters in this room asked him some really hard questions, and he answered those so well.
Yeah.
And that's just a glimpse of what we're going to see as Southern Baptist. I mean, one reporter referred to something 20 years ago that he had nothing to do with, but he had to handle that question, and he handled it very well.
Good.
So, yeah, there are some tougher, more difficult things he's going to have to handle. Obviously, he saw some of that in the questions yesterday after the vote.
Yep. What do you think those things are? What do you think are going to be the most difficult things, even for us as a convention come June, that we're going to have to deal with?
Well, you know, we're still addressing the sexual abuse issue, and that is still playing out on the Southern Baptist level, no doubt about that. So he's going to be faced with some challenges there, and it's going to be hard to please everybody in the decisions that are made. That'll be one of the challenges, though I think that we made some progress on that front, and I feel optimistic that we're going to be able to move forward. I think we're also faced with, some issues of identity, who we are, who we're going to be, and that is being manifested in the robust discussion we're having these days about confessionalism and what the role of the Baptist faith and message needs to be in determining cooperative relationships with churches. And of course, the impetus for this discussion is the law amendment, the Law Sanchez Amendment, as some people are referring to it, which was approved in this past annual meeting convention and will be ratified in the upcoming one in Indianapolis. So the real issue to me is the idea of confessionalism and the role of the confession in our identity. And I think we're at a bit of a crossroads, honestly.
Yeah.
Because there are some that are arguing. Let me say that Baptists are confessional. There's really no debate about whether we're going to be confessional or not. The debate is to what degree are we going to allow our confessionalism to guide us. And there are some that are arguing that, the Baptist faith and message is just sort of a guide, and that as long as people are under the tent in general ways, then there ought to be a spirit of cooperation. And there are others at the other end of the spectrum that are arguing for what they call non-contradiction, and that's the belief that there ought not to be any contradiction in a church's practice or doctrine to the Baptist faith and message. And then, of course, there are probably some steps in between. So that's really the discussion that I think is going to need a lot of attention by Dr. Orr and other Southern Baptist leaders.
Yeah. I wonder if there's been any further conversation as well, because I know there are some team reports that are going to come out.
Yeah.
And it seems that the Great Commission Task Force has been really, really tight-lipped. Like, I've not heard a lot out of that. And what role that team's report has on cooperation. And I know you may not have any further insight into that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I do. The Great Commission Task Force, I think, what they're doing more than anything else is just evaluating that Great Commission resurgence and the initiatives related to that. I honestly haven't heard a lot of talk about that, I don't know exactly what they're going to do. I think the task force, I'm not sure that's the term they're using, that's going to be probably more central to this discussion is the cooperation group, cooperation task force.
Yeah.
And they're trying, vested with the responsibility of trying to define what it means to be in friendly cooperation and to closely identify.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where this discussion of non-contradiction all the way to just general agreement is being given. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, the Order of Business Committee, if you want to know how to have an evening session and make sure people are there.
Right. I saw that.
You put the cooperation group, I think the Great Commission Resurgence Group, and the presidential election.
Yeah. The presidential
election. It's Tuesday night. So.
Well, I tell you, I think Dr. Barber and the Order of Business Committee understands that the last few years, Southern Baptist Convention messengers have appreciated having those evenings free.
Yeah, yeah.
And in order to get the messengers to come back, man, they had to load the docket with some really juicy type items.
And they did.
Yeah.
One last question I just have for Tanner. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We're just chatting.
Is I think some of us look back at the convention last year, and while we may agree with the edit that was made to the 2000 Baptist Faith and Message, there are some that look back and say, you know what, it shouldn't be that easy to edit our doctrinal statement from the floor when we're saying it takes 2 years for the law amendment to pass, but yet we can make a motion, vote on it, and it stand in our doctrinal statement. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree completely. I think there needs to be a more thorough process of amending our confession of faith, and it probably needs to, in some ways, reflect the process of amending our governing documents.
Right.
And it needs to be a multi-year process, and there needs to be a little more consideration given to it than just a motion from the floor and a decision. As much as I appreciate, that process and those involved in that, but such a significant decision demands more thorough examination and evaluation, no doubt.
Because it always, like at the convention, it just depends on who's in the room.
So, I mean, the people in the room in the morning session will be different than the people in the room, you know, at the end of the afternoon session. Yeah.
How do Mississippi Baptists, how are we supposed to receive this, the things that are happening on the SBC level, the things you talked about that we'll talk about in Indy? I'm not going to say a church name, but I know even last week you were at a church just talking to them about what it means to be a Mississippi Baptist church, and that opportunity maybe could come to fruition here in the future about what that means to be a cooperating church in Mississippi Baptist life. But I'm sure we have concerns all across the board in our state, but just in general, as we look to Indianapolis and these decisions, or even yesterday with Dr. Orge being elected in, which is the correct term, he's the president-elect right now, how should we receive this as leaders in the state, Mississippi Baptist leaders? A lot of our pastors are listening and trying to figure out where they, how much we should really dig into this deeply. How should we press on day to day in our churches and not distract our view or our daily task of our ministry in our churches? That's the really big question I want to land on during this podcast. We're in the morning still, but yeah.
Well, in a lot of ways, that's a difficult question to answer, Tanner. Yeah. In other ways, it really is.
There's just one answer, right?
It's easy. It's a softball in the end. So I'm gonna hit softball at the end. But let me say initially that, we're discussing some pretty heavy things these days. A lot of gravity to the decisions that we're making. And again, it comes back, in my opinion, to confessionalism and the relation of the confession to our cooperation. And I am a confessionalist. I believe that's who we are as Southern Baptists. And I believe that the Baptist Faith and Message is a good document by which we can govern our likeness and similarity. I have hesitations about trying to codify a lot of that in our governing documents. I feel like the confession of faith is a better place for those kinds of statements, and then allow that confession of faith to live and to do what it is designed to do, and that is to be a guardrail for our spirit of cooperation. So I sort of fall into that camp myself. But we're going to see where the messengers land on that. And wherever they land, I feel confident that Southern Baptist and Mississippi Baptists are going to do well. Mm-hmm. But let me come back to the essence of the question. Regardless of what happens on the Southern Baptist Convention level in Indianapolis or in Nashville on a day-to-day basis, I'm thankful to be a Mississippi Baptist.
Yeah.
I think the spirit of cooperation is strong here, and the Lord is blessing. We're seeing churches planted. We had 200 plus of our collegiate students last week, over the course of the last couple of weeks, go on mission trips far and near, sharing the gospel. We have robust disaster relief teams that are ready for response at the snap of a finger. And we're providing, I think, some of the best training and resourcing for our local churches that they could access. Mm-hmm. And all of that is being done through our cooperation. I'm excited about what God is doing in Mississippi. I'm excited about what the future holds. And so what I would say to pastors in Mississippi is this. Yeah, pay attention to what's going on at the Southern Baptist level. Pray for those guys. Be involved. Be invested. Attend the meetings you can attend. But at the end of the day, it's all about the local church doing the work of the gospel for the glory of God.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's just really as simple and straightforward and direct as that.
Yeah, that's good. Good deal.
That's great.
We are way over time.
This has been a good talk. So, well, appreciate. And I'll say this: so Monday night we will gather in Indianapolis, June 10th. Is that the exact date? Monday, June 10th.
Monday.
It's a Monday night. Of course, there's a Tuesday evening session now, so we can't gather on a Tuesday evening anymore. Nobody can.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll be a Monday night. We'll put out information about where we're going to be, not actually in the convention hall, but in an adjoining hotel. So we'll get information out about that, but looking forward to it.
Yeah, and so JW Marriott, I think. They're all connected, all these hotels. We're trying to figure it out. But Dr. Parker, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Good to be with you.